You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, a toy brand that is more iconic than Barbie. Perhaps even more iconic than Legos. And you immediately know what it is, but none of us can explain why it's so popular. An expert can, and he'll join us live to discuss this ubiquitous toy, and you tried to say that. Manny the Movie Guy reviews the weekend releases and wants you to see a movie maybe you haven't heard of. Plus, the 100 things you need to know before you grow up. Oops, we're a little late on that, maybe. Joining me in the studio, influential Los Angeles radio personality and all-around badass, Kelly J.
I like that. Thank you. Hi.
And all that show prep we did didn't count a whit, did it?
No, it's great. It's the first time I've been on the show, so yes.
And you have a big headline story.
I have an amazing list right now that I'm going to probably throw up and retch all over your station or your studio, so I'm going to apologize. Yeah, Time's most influential people on the internet.
Yes.
Horrifying.
And he's the number one attraction at this audio theme park when we allow him out of his pen. It's Chris Martin.
Phil, the world-renowned Marine Park, SeaWorld, their stock had a giant spike in value yesterday. See if you can guess why.
I'll do my best, Chris. And if you listen to the show on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments and notice your five-star reviews. All right, let's get started. And now, Kelly, you've licked your wounds and you're okay. Fine.
I'm fine.
Yes.
I'm fine.
That's good. You're not the first one who's done that. I think 4 out of 5 guest hosts have completely screwed the pooch on the headline segment.
That works, you know.
I think Erin did it like every other day.
Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a regular occurrence for her. Or she forget to turn on the mic.
This is a little backbiting, isn't it?
Oh, no. I love Erin.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't take away from the fact that she forgot to turn on the mic pretty regularly.
No, that's true. That's true. All right. Now, Erin's not here. Kelly's here, and she wants to be the focus of our attention.
I do? All right. I will.
And
I can do that.
All right. So let's get started. Now, most influential on the internet. So let's see. Who are we talking about? People like, I don't know, Bill Gates.
No, he's not on the list.
No?
However, I'm questionable at best because I think Time has kind of like take a real dump in my book as to who they've actually put on this list. So number one.
Yes.
They have Kanye West.
He's the most influential guy
that
on the internet?
That is at least the first listed person, and it's horrifying.
Chris, are you influenced by what Kanye says on the internet?
Yes,
I am
influenced.
Okay,
by
we're going
to
just turn Chris's mic off now.
I'm not saying I'm influenced in a positive direction, but I'm influenced by what he says because he influences many other people across the globe. So, yeah, I pay attention to what he says. Doesn't mean I believe in it.
Well, here's how he influences me. Every time he says something, I want to just smack him.
Throw up.
Yes. When we say most influential people on the internet, we're talking about through their tweeting and Facebook
exactly.
and things like that, right?
Exactly.
Social media? Okay.
Yeah. Which I don't even know because he's a musician, if you would call it that. But he also is trying to do the fashion thing, which is horrifying.
His fashion is bad.
His fashion is sad. It's really sad. But why he would be one of the most influential people, I don't know.
Well, the basic definition of influence is that you steer people one way or another. And I don't know necessarily that it means you steer them in a good way or a bad way.
Right. And don't forget, it also means it's not just steering people, it's steering large numbers of people, which Kanye West certainly does.
Is society following the influence of Kanye West? Number one?
He's the first one listed. Yeah, he's the first. So let's get on to better people.
Go ahead.
If we can. Okay, James Corden. I don't know if you've ever seen this guy. He has a show called The Late Late Show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's funny.
Funny, right? And he's been on drive-arounds with Adele and with Elton John.
I saw the Elton John one. He's hilarious.
It is. So
Carpool
he's on
Karaoke,
there.
They call
Carpool
it.
Carpool Karaoke, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, what number is he?
He's the second one listed. I don't know if this is necessarily in like their order. But this is the third one. Yeah, it's pretty much just random.
Okay.
So there's this other girl. She's pretty cool, Lacey Green. She has this website, a YouTube site. It kind of helps people talk about it to their kids about sex and things like that. So, you know, that's always a touchy subject when you're a parent. And,
mommy, where do babies come from?
Right, which
Let
I have a 7-year-old, and
is that
he's
the wrong
asked
answer?
Me.
Yes.
Yeah. very, very, very wrong. So she's cool. She's kind of helping. She's 26, so at least she's got something under. But these people need to just be banned. This Josh Holtz and Daniel Lara, you probably know them as Damn Daniel.
Oh,
jeez.
Yeah, so we're just going to move on. I don't even know why that's not even influential. That there's nothing influential about
this. The Damn Daniel kid, is he doing other things that we don't know
about? No,
they're
in school. They're like in high school. These guys ended up on Ellen and everything.
He's receiving a world of criticism right now for something that's supposed to be funny and entertaining. That's the one thing I would say about the people on these lists is they get a lot of numbers of people looking at what they do because they find it entertaining. A lot of people look at
the Damn Daniel guy. I mean, he reminds me of the Leave Britney Alone, dude.
Yeah.
Now, and all they
have
do
you
is...
seen that guy lately?
No, what is he doing?
Oh, he's turned into a swan. That kid.
Really?
Yeah, you got to see a recent picture of
that
guy.
I heard that he was doing porn, too. Is that true?
I don't know. He looks like a GQ cover model now.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, it's wild looking.
Huh. So anyway, but I don't know why that is influential. It's just him filming somebody wearing shoes and Vans.
So you're influenced to Wretch.
Wretch. It's disgusting. Yeah. Okay, so J.K. Rowling.
Oh.
We all know her.
Influential.
But she's a writer, so I don't know how that would go. She's more influential with her books, you know, and I don't understand why that would, you know... go on to. But she's good. She's a good one.
She has a website, by the way, where she releases all kinds of free writing as well.
There you go. So, see, that's it. Okay, this one does make me want to retch.
Right,
and it's this PewDiePie. I don't even know how you say
PewDiePie.
This guy.
He's the richest internet guy in the
PewDiePie.
World.
PewDiePie.
PewDiePie.
No, it's
PewDiePie. All this guy does is walk around and film himself getting scared.
The way he got popular is by playing video games and having the video capture on his screen, and people watch him play video games and do the commentary while he's playing. He got enormously rich doing that. He's the number one richest guy who does that.
He has 42.7 million subscribers.
Yeah, and he's making like $1 billion a year.
It's disgusting.
To play video games.
But he also has these things where he runs around and actually gets... himself in situations where he's terrified.
Yeah. And he has a new TV show on Yahoo Red.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
YouTube Red.
YouTube Red, yeah. Not Yahoo.
That's
YouTube
what
Red.
I'm talking about. You know. But then there's other ones like, you know, we were talking about this soccer guy who he gets paid to play soccer, but then he also is making, just because of his YouTube and all these followers, combined followers, he's making an extra like $27 million.
Oh, God. Who's the soccer player?
Dollars. His name is...
Ronaldo?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, he's possibly the most popular athlete in the world.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So, but going back to this, other ones that are just nauseating. Oh, well, actually, ones that are actually
all right. One
good.
More.
One more. Let me give you a nauseating one. Kim Kardashian. Done.
All right. Okay.
Gross.
All right. So, there's been all kinds of controversy in the world about SeaWorld.
Yeah.
And there are orcas, and there are a bunch of people who want them to just stop having orca shows, and there are other people that want them to keep doing it, maybe do it in a more humane way. But the SeaWorld did respond to that, and they put out a big press release, and now we're getting a better idea what's the reaction is, because SeaWorld is a business. It's a company, and they've got to keep making money for their shareholders. And so how's that going, Chris?
Well, it went well for them yesterday. SeaWorld released a statement yesterday saying that the company will end all orca breeding heretofore, which I love saying.
I love that word.
Heretofore.
Heretofore.
It's heretofore.
Oh, that too. The move comes after years of scrutiny about the treatment of animals and the controversial documentary Blackfish. They will be ending its theatrical whale show after this generation of whales passes on, or is no longer able to perform.
And so they're out of business, right?
No, actually, they had a huge spike in their stock prices and their stock holdings because of this.
I don't understand that.
Why? Well, let's think about this. Short term, there's going to be a lot of people in the United States and around the world that want to see the orcas perform these tricks of jumping through hoops of fire and eating small fish off the deck.
Off the bellies of hot trainers.
That's right. Yeah. So you only have a limited amount of time to see this show.
Belly fish shots.
Better get after it while you can.
Wow. That makes a lot of sense. So people are going to rush in there, and so short term. So buy the SeaWorld stock today. It'll be worth double what it is today in about a year, but then you got to sell before the skydive.
That's right.
Before it just plummets to nothing.
Yeah, before the whales can no longer perform.
Unless
by
they
the
figure
way.
Something else out to do over there at SeaWorld.
Well, they have all kinds of different things. They're still going to have an attraction where you can go see different sea animals. You don't hear people upset about the sea turtle expedition that they or exposition that they have, or
no.
The seahorses.
Do they have a seahorse mating deal there? Because seahorses have sex with themselves, don't they?
I don't know.
I know the males carry the babies.
Oh, the males. Yeah, right.
But they have like an enclosure, you know, where you can see all the different, you know. That's cool.
Yeah.
Finally, the
black,
men.
Black light and sexy music and the seahorses come out.
Yeah.
And they have coral reef shows or, you know, looking areas and all that. By the way, they have also committed $50 million over the next 5 years to become the world's leading marine animal rescue organization. So.
Yeah.
They are trying to position themselves, I think, in a new direction, which is
I want to know what they're going to do with the pool. Yeah. Can we all just go swimming?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
After they clean it and chlorinate it heavily.
Belly flop. And then see if you get see if who can do the belly flop to get the fans in the audience
there you go,
wet.
Right?
Yeah.
First five rows.
That dude's a whale. Who do you rather watch have sex, seahorses or Hulk Hogan? We'll answer that question next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. So Sacha Baron Cohen has that movie out, The Brothers Grimsby, and it did not do as well as his other movies like Borat and The Dictator.
How'd it do?
$4 million so far. I mean, it's been out for a week and a few days, right?
Yeah.
Almost 2 weeks.
Wonder how much it took to actually make it.
I don't know. He
A lot, I'm sure.
His fee is probably more than $4
million. That's true, yeah. All right, so never mind. But
back to Borat for a second. He, even though Borat made Kazakhstan look racist and the country threatened to sue Sacha Baron Cohen over the movie, tourism went up 1,000% the year the movie Borat came out.
Oh, I like.
People saying, yeah, I want to go to Kazakhstan.
I want to find your sister, the one she talk about.
And I want your tears, gypsy, right? I want that.
Slap hands.
Let's go to the gypsy tears thing in Kazakhstan. All right, so seahorses or Hulk Hogan? Who would you rather watch
seahorses.
Having sex, would you?
Yeah. Seahorses,
But
yeah.
There is proof that Hulk Hogan is a sexual beast. Isn't that true?
He can apparently still get his groove on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently he's in a court case right now with Gawker. He's trying to get $100 million for this sex tape that they released a portion of, thank God, not the entire thing. But, and funny thing is, it looks like it was actually with his friend's ex-wife.
That's
so it was
right.
Like kind of dabbling in the, you know, you just don't
that's
go
dirty.
There. Kind of, yeah, that's dirty stuff.
Yeah.
So A, it's got scandal in it. B, it's got Hulk Hogan in it. But I don't want to see Hulk Hogan having sex.
Well, here's good for you. This is going to be good for you to know. You don't have to watch it.
I don't. Isn't that brilliant? I love it. He's trying, you know, Gawker's trying to establish their First Amendment rights and by displaying this, they say they never made a dime off of it. And I can do that because I don't want to watch it.
No, here, what happened? Now, Hulk is a married guy, right?
Yeah.
And he was having sex with somebody else.
Well, no, Hulk's divorced.
Oh, but at the time that the
sex, I'm assuming. I don't even know when it came out, when the video
came
out.
But who was in charge of the camera?
Supposedly he was, and she is the woman. But supposedly she's testifying that she didn't realize she was being videotaped.
Was he having sex with his wife at the time, too?
I don't know. Ooh, that would even be more scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
Well, maybe he was doing it as proof. Here, honey, see what I can do?
Maybe she's in the corner watching.
And it's okay. She's a friend of the family.
Yeah
right.
Things weren't going well at home if he was, you know, out there cheating on her.
Now, how about the lady involved? It was a lady, right?
Yeah. Thank God it was a lady.
Yeah, and so Is she upset about this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She didn't want to testify, but she did. I mean, she testified, was
but
very teary eyed.
Well, yeah, she wants her piece of that $100 million.
Heck yeah.
Isn't it sad that what happens to a lot of these wrestlers? It's like that movie, The Wrestler, right? Did you watch that movie?
I did. It was a great movie. Mickey Rourke.
I was thinking that Mickey Rourke was, in fact, Hulk Hogan most of the time. I was projecting that that's who he was. And I don't know, it seems like a lot of these guys end up in just a sad way.
Hulk Hogan seems like he's done all right. Anything I've ever heard from him, he still seems to be in positive spirits, I guess. I just don't think he likes the fact
but
that
a lot
this
of bad stuff has happened to him with his kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
too much pressure.
If you follow wrestling news at all, you know that one of the biggest names in recent professional wrestling history is Sting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Undertaker. I was going to jump out the window.
No. Undertaker's just kind of there in the periphery, and anytime somebody wins a belt, the lights go out and the smoke comes and the brooding heavy metal music plays, and he comes out and picks somebody up and takes a bite out of them.
Oh, my God. Wait, literally?
Yes.
Okay, I don't...
No, he does. He chokeslams him.
Oh, got okay. It. Yeah. Oh, man.
And then he eats their flesh.
Then he eats their flesh. Okay, I'm back with you. Keep going.
But neck injury. Can you imagine? These guys, they're huge. They're all like 6'8", and they're just enormous human beings. And when they get slammed on that thing, it's got to hurt. I mean, it does hurt.
It totally has to hurt.
It is so fake, but it hurts.
Yeah.
Because they're getting slammed around. And Sting is one of the biggest names in recent wrestling history, and he is retiring officially because of his neck injury, and he can't go on anymore. And so people are starting to ask, well, what's the future of the WWE without Sting, because he's a big deal? And a lot of the other big names are just aging dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are there any like up-and-comers right now that are just about to take over all that?
The WWE is just waiting for them to fail out of acting school first, and then they'll come on over.
That's right.
That's the next generation.
Is that the steps of the progression steps of getting into wrestling?
Yeah,
okay.
Once you can't make it into Juilliard, you go ahead and step into the ring.
But I'll tell you who the big name is these days, and I know because I have a little class that I teach elementary school kids. I teach them public speaking, and so a lot of times they'll get on a jag, and no matter what question I ask, why is public speaking important? The answer will almost always be, John Cena. How many of you brought your homework? John Cena. And it's just weird. The kids are totally into John Cena. And is that because their parents were listening to that prank call that a radio station did with, you know, the John Cena prank call? You've probably heard that. Haven't you heard that?
I haven't heard it.
I have heard it. Someone turned me on to it. But okay, I think the kids like wrestling because it's fake fighting. So it's not as violent. They don't react as badly to it. But
I don't think the kids realize it's fake.
It looks more violent than real fighting.
I don't know about that.
No, but
I watched it when I was younger, and then you get turned off to it. There has to be some sort of correlation.
But you
there.
Think about like boys. Oh my God, they're just totally physical, and I mean, it was going on for a long time before it really came out that it was fake.
Yeah,
and a man's life was crushed.
Yeah.
at that point.
And then the question comes, Mommy, what's a sex tape?
Well, honey, just keep watching wrestling.
Yeah, right. Sheesh. All right, spring break for a lot of schools right now. And what does that mean when you're on spring break? Did you guys go like to the hot spring break locales when you were in high school or college?
No, I'm from the Midwest, so there was no hot spring break locale, and you had to actually get on a plane and go somewhere. So,
go to Florida, right?
Right. Florida, yeah. Hawaii, Mexico.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been on some pretty raging spring break vacations.
South Padre or Havasu? Where
no,
do you go?
Havasu. Yeah, Havasu.
Because you're an Arizona guy.
That's, well, Arizona, Southern California. My uncle had a place out at Big Bend, which is just below the Havasu Dam, right there on the Colorado River.
And that's where
big
everybody...
old sandbar where you could walk waist deep in urine filled water and drink beer off other people's boats.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I missed this.
And all the boats are
you missed out.
They're all sandwiched together.
And, yes, and tied off together. Everybody's playing their own music. Some boats have poles on there so you could dance on.
And everybody's drunk and naked, and it's just okay. Well,
it's a mess.
Here's the thing. Here's a spring break alert, and it's not spring break until this happens. A 21-year-old woman tried to go into Walmart in Lake Havasu last weekend wearing just bikini bottoms and pasties.
Okay.
All right. So, where's the problem?
Yeah. What's
When the staff told her she couldn't come in dressed like that, she cursed them out, and then she was arrested for disorderly conduct. Spring break has officially begun.
So has anybody else actually seen these Walmartians that are out there that you send the pictures?
Yes,
I would much rather take Okay, a hot young chick with bikini bottoms and pasties
mm-hmm.
over some of those Walmartians any day of the week.
Oh, yeah, right. The enormous people with the Lululemons on, right?
Mm-hmm.
The shorts that were shorts that are now some other sort of clothing that are so hidden you'll never find them.
Now, see, what we've just demonstrated is that we are attracted to certain types of people and we are not attracted. We are repulsed by other types of people for whatever reason. We all have our tastes. A new study by Tinder. You know what Tinder is?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? That's a hookup site, right?
Totally.
It's a dating app, yeah.
Quote-unquote dating.
Remember, it's a hookup app.
Yeah. Netflix and chill.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So the new study by Tinder found that the key to getting someone to talk to you on Tinder is sending a GIF. You may say GIF. I say GIF. The guy who invented the GIF, I think, told us to say GIF. But screw him. I'm saying GIF.
GIF of what?
A GIF of love. No, if you are... if you interpreted that sentence as sending a gift, here's some bad news. You're old. It turns out that Tinder started allowing people to send quick animated GIFs in their messages back in January, and they found people that do that in their first message are 30% more likely to get a response than if they just write something or put up an emoji. And that's right, emojis are passe.
I'd send me doing the electric worm.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to do a GIF, so I'm out.
I'll show you during the break.
Okay.
Hey, when I walk through life, I often wonder if I have the basic skills to survive just about any situation. National Geographic has put out a book for kids, but it's also very instructive for adults. It's called 100 Things to Know Before You Grow Up. And we're not going to talk to the author. We're going to talk to the editor from Nat Geo Kids Books, who saw this on the first day and said, oh, crap, I need to get busy. Maybe you'll relate to that. I certainly do. She joins us next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Sci-Fi has a zombie movie on the way called Dead 7, and the cast is filled with former boy band members, including Nick Carter and Joey Fatone. BuzzFeed has the trailer if you want to go see it. It airs April 1st at 8 p.m. And speaking of movies, by the way, Manny the Movie Guy will be on the program a little later in the show to review the weekend stuff. In fact, about 45 minutes from now, if you're keeping track. Now, on to new business. We have a new book available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go take a look. It's called 100 Things to Know Before You Grow Up. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, great.
I'm not grown up.
Yeah. Or, oh, great, I'm about to be reminded how much I don't know.
I don't want to grow up.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Maybe it's not too late for you. Maybe it's not too late to get some new skills. And certainly the timing is right if you have kids to pass along these basic life skills. Becky Baines is an editor over at National Geographic Kids. Her hands are all over the making of a ton of books which help kids explore and understand their world, their bodies, their minds. Just go to our store at Phil Hewlett and Friends. com and search her name. You'll see a boatload of books come up. And she joins us now. Becky Baines, welcome.
Hi, thanks so much for having me on.
We're talking about a book you didn't write, but you did edit it. Lisa Gary wrote 100 Things to Know Before You Grow Up. And immediately, my eyes and ears perk up. What was your reaction when you first saw the text for this book?
I just thought this book was so exciting. You know, it's the third that we've done in a line of these books. So Lisa Gary has written all of them. The first was 100 Things to Do Before You Grow Up, and then we had 100 Things to Make You Happy. But this one I feel is super important because we combine kind of everyday how-tos of things, you know, kind of skill-building things that kids should just know how to do, like pump gas, write a check, make a bed, and build a campfire. And then we have some life skills, like how to speak up for yourself, how to, you know, be brave, how to know when to ask for help, and how to you know, try things on your own. So there are a lot of different, like, fun things, aspirational things, and just really, really important, like, everyday things. And so I was really, really excited about this one.
And I like the way it's laid out. It's done really well. And Lisa uses three basic icons that you see at the beginning for attitude, skills, and knowledge and their sub-qualities. And you see these icons next to the 100 things you need to know. And that's pretty helpful, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, under each of these, you know, attitudes, there's curiosity, empowerment. Like, skills would be communication, collaboration, problem solving, and then knowledge is, you know, things that you should know about our planet, you know, animals, new frontiers. So it's a really great tool for kind of parents to flip through and see exactly what their kids will be gaining by taking on each of these 100 challenges. So it's just kind of one of those tools that it's like an instant get for what you're taking away from this.
And it's an important point. This is a book intended for kids, but I think it may be more important for parents. Hey, this is stuff you should be passing along to your kids. And in the write-up for this book, it says that after you looked at this, you decided you have a lot of work to do on yourself, or are you a mom?
No, I'm not a mom. I'm an aunt. I have two nieces, so there's definitely some stuff I could pass along to them. But one thing I really learned is how you're never too old to learn something new. There are definitely some self-improvement areas I need to tackle. I just flipped to, you know, how to talk to adults, which is a really important one for kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to get your point across without, you know, being disrespectful or, you know, coming across as, you know, rude. But, like, even I saw problems talking to adults. So that's one I could definitely work on.
Right. And so many of these skills our parents were supposed to teach us, and maybe they just hoped we learned these things by osmosis. And I'm wondering, maybe that's what happened to me. How about you?
Yeah, you know, definitely. There are some things that we inherently pick up from our parents. And so some kids, based on your childhood experiences, are going to be stronger at some things than others, just naturally from how they were raised. But there are some in here that, like, the big one that sticks out to me is the financial responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
That was not necessarily one my parents really drilled home when I was a kid. Like, they're incredibly generous, but it wasn't until I was in college that I realized if you open a credit card, you got to pay it off or you're in deep, deep trouble. So,
oops, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that was one that it definitely took me a few years to kind of learn my lesson on that and dig my hole out of it. So the earlier kids are aware of these things, the better. If you create these good habits young, then they just stay with you your whole life.
And there are a bunch of fun things in there, too. And honestly, I've forgotten how to make paper mache. And I'm not sure anyone has ever shown me how to make snow ice cream. And which of the fun skills listed in the 100 things do you need to brush up on?
You know, the fun things are ones I have a pretty good handle on those. But that's something, you know, we have all these responsibility tasks in the book, like things like that'll kind of turn you into a well-rounded human. But part of being a well-rounded human is still having that sense of fun, not growing up too fast, still capturing that childlike, you know, experiences whenever you can. And so we do have, you know, how to balance a spoon on your nose and, you know, how to throw a football.
Yeah.
And, you know, even how to find exercise, which is really important to everyone, but doing something you love, whether it's, you know, kayaking or sledding or soccer, you know, these fun ones actually go a long way to teach you things as well.
We're talking with Becky Baines. She's the editor of the book, 100 Things to Know Before You Grow Up, written by Lisa Gary. And as the editor, it must have been challenging to figure out what order to put the 100 things. I get the impression they're in some random order because snow ice cream is first, how to fold origami is third, how to make new friends, which to me is a great deal more important, obviously, and it's number 79. And it, I don't know if that's weird or if it is just random. How did you come to those conclusions?
Well, so there are a number of factors that come into play. Yes, you know, we did not put them 1 through 100 based on like priorities at all. Number 100 is how to make yourself happy. And I think that that's probably the most important one in the book. But what we wanted to do is have a fun balance where, you know, the one about snow ice cream is balanced out with how to make your bed. Like, you really want to make snow ice cream. You don't necessarily want to make your bed. So we have to walk the fine line of teaching kids something about themselves, about the world around them, teaching them responsibility, but also letting them know that, like, we're on their side. Not all work, you know, there's a lot of fun that go into it as well. So we kind of wanted to bounce back and forth throughout the whole book. So that's why you get a really fun one first, and then we hit you with the responsibility after we suck you in.
Way to go. 100 Things to Know Before You Grow Up. It's written by Lisa Gary from National Geographic Kids. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Becky Baines wishes she wrote it. So do I. Becky, thanks a lot for spending some time with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, that was a lot of fun. And I love the book. I'm going to keep looking through it. I'm about half the way through, and I'm going to learn everything that I didn't learn.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you following the March Madness?
A little bit.
Got a bracket?
A little bit. I do not have a bracket this year.
You know,
year.
I usually do, but I don't have this year. How about you? Do you have a bracket, Kelly J?
I could lie and say yes to look cool, but no, I'm not following any sports.
Okay, well, good for you.
Well, even if you did, by the way, 99% of all brackets were busted yesterday alone.
Oh, yeah.
So there's only 1% of the
and
people
And so everybody is in a funk, and that's because everybody is gambling on March Madness. It makes you wonder, are the players gambling? How much gambling is going on within the sport? Frank Landry is an expert on this sort of thing. He's going to talk to us up next about coaches, about players, about point shaving. Is it going on? And what can be done about it? Can it be stopped if it is happening? And what does it mean for your bracket and gambling and all of that? Did the team throw the game? Did Arizona throw the game against Wichita because all the players made a bunch of money and they don't care about winning the whole March Madness deal? Anyway, Frank's the author of a book we'll tell you about as well coming up next when we have him on the show here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, we're back here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes or just go to the website and visit the How to Listen page, and you can pick your poison. There are so many ways. We're everywhere. We really are. Are you into the March Madness? Who isn't? I'm at a restaurant last night celebrating my daughter's birthday, my oldest daughter. We're having a great time, and all the TVs are on, and every single TV is basketball, NCAA basketball. And it's that time of year when everybody, just like when there's the Super Bowl, everybody's in a Super Bowl pool, or they've got some kind of bet going on what's going to happen, how long the or how short the national anthem is going to be, all the prop bets. Everybody gets into that. And now nobody's getting any work done because they're watching their brackets because the games are happening right in the middle of the day very often.
And your dinner or lunch is distracted when one of the teams loses and the guy gets up, throws his food across the room and starts screaming obscenities.
Now, are there other forces just beyond the final score of a game that will affect your success at this whole bracket game? In other words, are the players gambling? Are there other bets going on within the game? You have to wonder about that. In this day and age, you think, yeah, sure, it's got to be happening. Joining us now is the author of My Gambler's Collateral Damage. It's a true story involving the FBI and his dad and his friend, who was a bookie. And this was a big deal, a classic scandal in sports. And here to talk about potential gambling within March Madness is the author of that book, Frank Landry. Thanks for joining us, sir. And on short notice, I might add. Thanks for that.
No problem, Phil. Thank you so much. Enjoy your show.
Yes, I appreciate that. Now, you, sir, throughout your years, have you been a big gambler?
I was growing up because I grew up in a gambling home. My father, back in the early 50s, I would caddy for him, and they would change about $10,000 in 18 holes back then.
Wow.
Which was big dollars.
And by inflationary means, when we look at that amount of money today, that was like $1 million.
Well, I would think so, because it was stated in 1960 that two players were getting $2,500 each for fixing a game that I played in and didn't know about this for 53 years.
Ooh.
But read the article at the Raleigh News and Observer, and that $2,500 in 1960 was worth $20,000 today.
Wow. And so a lot of money changing hands illegally, I might add.
Oh, yeah. And it's much deeper than anybody realizes. The last 45 years, 100 players have been caught shaving points.
Now, are these professional players or college players?
No, this is just college players we're talking about.
Oh, because it's a whole new bag of beans when you talk about the professional guys. But let's focus on the college kids for now.
Sure.
What are the influences that come from I don't know where that get these kids into trouble? Or are they just deciding they're gamblers and they're going to do it on their own?
Well, there was a study in 91, another one in 94. There were about 1,500 college students in each of these situations, several colleges, several states. And in both cases, they found out that about 80 to 90% were gambling pretty regularly, and 21 to 25% were gambling weekly. And 3% in both of these studies were pathological gamblers. But more important than even that, 1997, two college students at Arizona State allegedly bet $250,000 on four home games.
And so when there's that kind of money involved and they're playing in the game and the coach doesn't know that they've got this kind of wager going, what is likely to happen? What would the players do to influence the outcome of the game without it becoming too obvious? I mean, they've got to be good at it to where we don't say, hey, those guys are throwing the game. What do they do?
Well, in 1960, the game that I happened to be in, Georgia Tech against NC State at the Reynolds Coliseum, that game, two of the players on NC State, possibly three, actually had agreed to take this $2,500 each in order to beat us. The gamblers said, oh, you can win the game, but don't win it by more than 5 points, meaning the spread was 5 points, and they wanted, the gamblers had put a lot of money on them winning the game or losing the game, but they couldn't win the game over 5 points. We actually got beat in that game 76-82, 6 points.
Uh-oh.
The writer of the article said that those gamblers put the gun in the belly of the players after the game outside in the parking lot, took their money back.
Wow.
Because they didn't. Now, these guys thought they were good enough that, and the coach played them in the key moments of the game, that they could control the point spread that much.
Well, that's why I ask. I mean, the guys show up with guns. Are they just thugs, or is this organized crime?
Well, you know, I would think that organized crime, anywhere there's big money, you can find them. Maybe they're minions, you know, someone doing it, the bidding for them. But also, think about this. If you're a college student and you've got big college bills to pay,
yeah,
you could get a little syndicate of your own, get three players, four players, try to bring them into a fraternity, wine them and dine them, and then say, hey, guys, you're not making all that much money playing basketball. You're getting a scholarship, sure, but we can give you big money. And who knows but what, you know, they can start these syndicates themselves. Mm. And influence a lot of games without coaches even knowing it.
So let me ask you about this day and age. Today, since we have a heightened awareness of what's going on, and in theory, the schools and the coaches and the officials with the league are keeping an eye out for this sort of behavior, what is the likelihood that there is gambling going on with the players during this March Madness series?
Well, I would say, you know, without a doubt, there's all kinds of money being bet on the NCAAs.
Within the games?
Oh, well, with all that, all those games being played, there's bound to be all kinds of betting on the games. And if there's betting and there's big money, there's got to be some influence on the game trying to be applied. Now, that may not get it done, but, you know, you can still win these games and feel like, if you're a player, feel like, well, I didn't do my coach or my team any harm. We won the game, but we didn't win it by the point spread that they told me to make sure we didn't win it by. And so, therefore, the gamblers made money. They made money as players. Their team won. It's possible.
This is crazy business because you think about it, you know, the sixth man or the seventh man or the eighth man on the bench comes in the last minute of the game and pops a three-pointer, and he's not in on the gambling deal.
Right.
Right? I mean, this is crazy town, isn't it?
Yeah. These would be key players. Any time that this has happened, it's been someone that's controlled the game, a guard. For example, my book is about me actually not knowing for 25 years that my coach benched me the last several games of my junior year and then kicked me off my senior year. I thought for breaking curfew, and this miscommunication went on for 25 years. He then tells me this assorted story that the 1961 Dixie Classic scandal brought the FBI into a lot of colleges. I was the leading scorer on the team, and I was the guard out front. And they tapped my phone, and my dad's friend, a bookie, called to congratulate me on making all tournament in the Christmas tournament, the December tournament at Furman. And that's all there was to it. But they thought he was laying groundwork for some kind of a fix later. My coach then takes that, and little things follow suit, and I end up getting kicked off the team and not knowing why.
Oh, no! What if you were on maybe the current number one seed, one of the number one seed teams, and you were a player, you were top scorer on a number one seed team, and it was found out during the tournament that you were involved either directly or indirectly with some kind of gambling within the game. What would happen to you today as opposed to in that day they just benched you and swept it under the rug and you found out later? What would happen if it happened to you today?
Well, even back in that time, the Dixie Classic scandal, NC State had players that were indicted, three players, I believe. And so they indicted them, and they would again today, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. In fact, there were teams that actually won the NIT, I believe it was, and they found out that they had fixed games during the year, and they lost their team lost the championship, and it was not awarded to them because of it. So there's a lot of this still going on in sports today, and as long as there's big money, there's going to be big fixes and people. The players need money still today.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't pay the players in college. A lot of people think you can, but you really can't, because you would have to pay every player on every team of any sport in college, and they don't have that kind of money.
Yeah, that's right. The book is called My Gambler's Collateral Damage. Frank Landry, I know we just scratched the surface on this, but and we're out of time, but just one quick question, if you could just give me a quick answer on it. How's your bracket looking?
Well, I haven't really gotten into it.
Oh, no, you haven't. Good for you. Very good.
And if I told you, you'd go bet on it, and then I'd feel bad.
Okay. Well, we don't want you feeling bad. Thanks a lot for being on the show, and keep smiling, and we'll talk to you again soon. And there. Now we can't trust anything, can we?
I'm so glad I don't get into this stuff. It's too complex, and I don't gamble.
We have so much more for you in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends, including, can you guess the iconic toy? Next hour, right here.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Come on.
You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour. Do you long for the days when New York City smelled like urine? Urine luck. We'll explain. Pee-wee Herman makes a comeback. Manny the movie guy has a movie for you to check out. Finally, we have shoes that lace themselves up for you. And who's more iconic than Barbie? Think about that for a bit, because we'll have the answer for you on this show. Coming up a little later. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for listening. Kelly J and Chris Martin are here today. Hey, Chris, let's start with you this hour in New York City. It's been nice and clean and no problems on the streets. Well, some problems, just not nearly as much as there were in the 70s and 80s and a little into the 90s. And then they cleaned up their act over there. But it's going to get particularly less clean in the near future. Why is that?
Well, because the Attorney General's office just passed a new law. But I wanted to ask you guys first, did you guys do anything special yesterday for St. Patrick's Day? Did you guys celebrate in any way whatsoever?
I did. I had Irish nachos.
Irish nachos? What goes into that?
Well, they're just homemade sliced up potato chips, you know, that the chef back there made them, you know, potatoes.
Of course.
Potatoes,
instead
yeah.
of tortilla chips, you got potato chips and then all kinds of, you know, crap on top of it.
I just had corned beef. Corned beef and
cool.
some really good mustard. That was pretty much it.
No, like Guinness with a clover?
No, nope. Unfortunately, I had to work and no. Don't have that at home.
Did you just pick up a hunk of corned beef and gnarl on it?
Or yeah, totally.
Was it in a sandwich?
No, we had that at work, and it was awesome. I've never had it before, so
You've
that was
never
actually
had corned
a first.
Beef?
Never had.
It's good stuff, huh?
And it's
very,
good.
Very
yeah.
good.
It is good with the mustard, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mustard, a little bit of sauerkraut. Well,
what'd you do?
Nothing special. Yeah, I had a couple of beers and kept it nice and light because I knew I was coming in here to hang with you fine folk today.
Wow.
And I wanted to make sure that
be
I was
sharp.
On my best.
Anybody else seeing that's just a crock?
Yeah.
Oh.
yeah, I'm actually just really good at recovering
really
from hangovers.
Right yes.
now. yeah, pretending I don't have one. But
all right, so back to New York. What are they
back
doing?
Back to New York. Every year, thousands of New Yorkers flood the streets in search of green beer and loud music over this St. Patrick's Day parade. But this year, a decision was made to decriminalize public drunkenness and public urination just before the big parade.
Oh, so that's that was allowed during the parade yesterday.
Yeah, allowed to a certain level. I mean, if a cop sees you being very belligerent or, you know, public exposure
yeah,
while you're urinating.
Standing on the curb and just whoop it out in front of a family. Of
That right? would have been an issue.
Yeah.
That would have
well,
been an issue.
Well, how else are you supposed to do it, guys? I mean, that's what you kind of have to do. Okay,
in
we'll,
out,
just, we'll
could,
just avoid that conversation.
No, it's a good question, though, yeah. because what you do is you sneak back into one of those many alleyways and you go stand behind a dumpster and you take a leak and
a little
you know,
discretion,
get away with it.
But
yeah.
if you're a little drunk, you might just say,
right here.
I'll pee on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somebody's lap.
Right. And then you're going to get arrested. If you do something like this, the police yeah. department said that these are quality of life violations and will not be considered criminal, mainly because removing these laws from the books will keep as many as 10,000 New Yorkers out of the criminal system each year, which means they won't be bogged down by all these minor offenses, for one. And for two, I think the police department sort of realized, like, we're just going to look foolish if we have this law because everybody's going to be drunk in this parade and everybody's going to be
you
evacuating.
Know, for years, on the you watch the New Year's Rockin' Eve. Right? I caught that just now, too, evacuating.
Yeah, I'm big on adjectives.
New Year's Rockin' Eve. You know, they have the people packed into Times Square in New York waiting for that stupid crystal ball to drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they stand there in their spot on the street for like 9 hours, and if they leave, they don't get their spot back. If they leave to pee, they don't get their spot back. So none of those people that are, they're all going to have bladder infections,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Urinary tract infections, whatever it is that they get, but all their legs are crossed, and if they laugh too loud, they lose it right there on their pants. And so now people are going to drink.
No.
They're going to pee right where they stand because
no.
it's allowed.
No. Sorry, Phil, but New York State will still be instituting alcohol bans in some areas and some events, one of those being New Year's Rockin' Eve, another one being SantaCon Pub Crawl, whatever that is.
Oh, wow,
that's just
fun.
To name
yeah.
a couple of them.
Well, how much better would New Year's Rockin' Eve be if, while Jenny McCarthy is out there walking around with her, you know, vacuous interviews that she does, and from time to time, does she do this every year? She has an open mouth kiss with some absolute stranger.
Yes.
And then she marries him.
She does that every year.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if they allowed those people to be drunk? And then who would you rather see a drunk person
vomit into the mouth of during an open mouth kiss? Jenny McCarthy or Ryan Seacrest?
Neither.
Oh, Ryan. Sorry. Yeah. Ryan.
Go ahead. I mean, on that list, I suppose I dislike Seacrest a little bit more, but that is a disturbing thought.
No, wouldn't that be great TV?
It would be great TV, especially live. You can't edit. Hopefully no delay.
Okay,
right
guys,
there.
I'm going to go in for the kiss. Open mouth. Here we go. And then...
yep. Great.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would go viral. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. She would be one of the most influential people of Time's next year's
right,
list, right?
Yes.
And then TV history television professors in colleges would have to cite that moment in television as one of the greatest moments ever.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
This is a good thing.
Right behind the Super Bowl.
Yeah. The Super Bowl and the humanity, the Hindenburg.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad I actually went to New York in September because then I don't have to smell all that. So glad they made the change. Mm-hmm.
All right. So New York's not going to smell like urine. I'm sorry. I miscommunicated that information.
But it still is. There's plenty of other times to drink and urinate.
Yeah. All right. Well, from pee to pee-wee.
Yes. And he's actually got this really fun new thing coming out called Pee-wee's Big... What is it? Pee-wee's Big Holiday.
Wow. Now, we have a lot of young listeners to the show. Who is Pee-wee?
Okay, so Pee-wee, back in the 80s, had this really fun Saturday show called Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yes.
And he had all these fun, like, talking, like a talking couch, and he had talking other, just pretty much everything in
talking
his house.
Toilet.
Talking toilets.
Globy was my favorite.
Right? And he had the male person that would come in, and so it was just really fun little interactive, you know, funky thing that I would watch it. I was in my 20s at the time when that came out.
Pee-wee Herman.
And so then he came out with Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
Which is
movie.
All over, right? And Large Marge, which scares my son to death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's coming out with a brand new one called Pee-wee's Big Holiday. It's coming out on Netflix. And actually, one of the co-producers is Judd Apatow.
Really?
Right? I'm not too surprised about it. But basically, the premise is that he's always said that he doesn't want to go anywhere or try anything new. Pee-wee's Pee-wee.
Yeah, and for those who don't know who Pee-wee is, I mean, this is the iconic part of his persona. Can he still do that
at his advanced age? He can still do that. So supposedly he ends up leaving Fairville, which is where he lives, and he goes to New York. So maybe he's going to be affected by this new law. I don't know. But
no, well, he gets in trouble in other ways.
His act, right, yeah. I think he straightened up his act.
He's not going to adult movie
theaters
anymore.
Yeah, he's not going to adult movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 63 and he's pulling off Pee-wee. I mean, that's amazing. He looks great.
I thought you were going back to the movie theater again. He's 63 and he's pulling. What
I don't
is
know.
He doing?
He can go and take some hints from Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Gosh.
Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, this is cool. This is so cool. You know who Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are, right?
No, never heard of them.
Okay. They're
strangers.
I have no idea. Big movie stars. They're producing a new reality show called Runner. Mm. And it actually sounds pretty awesome. Follow me here. A contestant will have to make it all the way across the country in 30 days following a specific itinerary and hitting several checkpoints. But here's the twist. There will be 8 two-person teams called Chasers trying to run him or her down. To make things even harder, viewers can send tips in to the Chasers. There's $1 million prize for either the successful runner or the chaser team that catches him or her. The catch is the show won't be on network TV. It'll be on Verizon's Go 90 mobile TV network, whatever that is.
The future, Phil.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What it is. It's the future.
the future of TV watching.
But you know what this sounds like? It reminds me of that movie from the, I think it was in the 90s, maybe the 80s. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger, Running Man.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a reality TV show where the characters would always get killed by the chasers and people tuned in to watch people get killed. But then Arnold Schwarzenegger became the contestant and he started killing the chasers and eventually got back to the TV show and killed the host of the show.
Awesome. I want to see this movie.
Yeah, sounds excellent. And then that's like Mockingjay and all these other movies of, you know, groups going out and they have to try and battle. I mean, so is there any original ideas out there anymore?
No.
No, apparently
there's
not. But
just
this
modifications.
Really close to, to, what was it? Not Blade Runner. What was it?
Running Man.
Running Man.
Yeah. Blade Runner was another running story where nobody really was running.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's where we first heard those iconic words, I'll be back.
That's right.
Hey, I got a quick question for you. What kind of a head start do you think they're going to give the runner over the chasers?
Well, it's TV. One commercial break.
Nice.
you have 7.5 minutes. You better get moving.
Yeah. Movies. it's time to, up next, our movie guy. He is doing backflips over this weekend's movies. He really is. And he's got one for you to see that maybe you haven't heard about before, and I think a lot of people in this country, maybe half of the people in this country, can relate to. You'll know about it when Manny the Movie Guy joins us next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Time to see what the movie companies have in store for you for at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is a man who every Hollywood star is clamoring to be interviewed by because he brings a plate of pancit palabok and warm pandesal. It's KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer Manny the Movie Guy.
Hello, that's right. I give them all my delicious Filipino food.
Yes, see, I know my Filipino food, don't I? If you're no, just get the pancit palabok, right? go all out. So, Manny, I know you've been busy at MannyTheMovieGuy.com. You have interviews that we're going to talk about there. That's coming up in a bit. But first, I want to start with what more than likely is going to be the biggest movie of the weekend, the third movie in the Divergent series. Is that right?
That's right. It's the third. Have you seen any of the Divergent films?
Not.
Yes.
Oh, you have, Chris?
I have
not. It's on my Netflix queue for 2019.
You guys are the target demos. You should watch it.
Target demos what? Dudes?
It's for young adults.
Oh, thank you, man. He's just so kind of you.
You're welcome. Yeah, no, the Divergent was good. Insurgent was okay. You know, I actually enjoyed this Allegiant. And, you know, this one is full of visual effects. It also has new sci-fi gadgets, but still achieves to highlight the theme of Veronica Roth's novel, that of the complexities of the human spirit. The first film of the two-part ending, Allegiant has her hero, Shailene Woodley's Triss, and Theo James's Four, leaving the comforts of Chicago to discover what lies beyond the wall. This one is, I enjoyed this film. It you know, it asked the question, are you pure or damaged? It has a good moral story, and it's visually exciting.
Yeah, now I recognize some of the names in here, Jeff Daniels, Naomi Watts, and you mentioned Theo James and Shailene Woodley, the drummer kid from that movie about a drummer.
Yes, Miles Teller, Whiplash.
Whiplash, thank you.
Yes.
He's in there too, huh?
Don't forget about Mekhi Phifer.
Amazing. You know what? When I interviewed, I'm not bragging, but when I interviewed him, you know, before the interview, you say your name, you know, Manny, state your name, blah blah blah. But he jumped and said, "Oh, it's Manny, the movie guy." I'm like, "Oh my god!"
Hey, look at you!
Hey, look at that! Good one.
I love you. Yes, he's a sweetheart.
It's because he listens to this show. That's how he knows about
right,
you.
Right? Exactly. And you know, the last time when I spoke, when I interviewed him for Insurgent, you know, I told him, I love that you mix independent films with blockbuster movies, and he said, "Well, you know, I still have student loans to pay."
Oh man, what a real dude! I like
last
that.
Last time I interviewed him for Allegiant, I asked him, I go, "Are you done with your student loans yet? Because I'm going to do a Kickstarter campaign for him."
Oh, or get him a new manager, a new agent. Goodness
right.
gracious. And Chris said, don't forget Mekhi Phifer, and I don't know why, because I don't know who that is.
Phifer is there too, yes.
Who is that?
And Maggie Smith.
Maggie Q.
Maggie Wu.
Maggie Wu? Wu? All right, I still don't know who Mekhi Phifer is, but let's move on. A movie opened on Wednesday, and it's, is it another one of these Christian movies, or is it something else? Miracles from Heaven. What's that about?
Yes, it is one of those, you know, a new week, another faith-based film. Last week we had The Young Messiah, and this week we have Miracles from Heaven. Now, this one is based on the book by Christy Beam, which is supposedly based on her own true story. Jennifer Garner stars as the author. She's worried about her 10-year-old daughter suffering from a rare intestinal disease.
Ooh.
But then when the daughter becomes a victim of a freak accident, an extraordinary miracle unfolds. Now, here's the deal. It's hard to swallow some of the film's preposterous subplots when everything is just purely black and white. The believers are good, the non-believers not so good, and Garner gives a one-note performance. Yet, Queen Latifah nearly steals the show as a divorced and down-in-the-dumps waitress who offers to help the mother and daughter. But word of caution, though, there's a bunch of Christian rock to last you an eternity.
Oh, really? So so you're either into that or you're not.
Right? Well, I'm not a fan of her.
And so are you a fan of Jennifer Garner? Because has she been in a movie lately or just the Cadillac and the credit card commercials?
Right, exactly. Yeah, she's still going to be Alias for me.
Oh, yeah. That was her big splash in the pan.
Right.
You have a pick of the week, and once again, it's a movie I've never heard of.
And you're about to hear now.
Oh, what is it?
It's a small film with a big heart. It's called The Confirmation. Now, I fell in love with a sweet-natured but funny drama about an absent father played by Clive Owen and his precocious boy played by Jaden Liberher. He's going through the process of his Catholic confirmation. Now, Jaden, by the way, if you guys saw St. Vincent with Bill Murray, he's the little kid there, and he's fantastic in that film and is equally fantastic in this movie. I mean, he spars with Owen, and the best part of the movie is the chemistry between he and Owen. And there's still a bunch of funny bits from, there's Patton Oswalt, Tim Blake Nelson. This is from the writer of Nebraska, and I love that movie, and Bob Nelson makes his directorial debut, and he should make more movies. The Confirmation is pure without being holy and funny without being raunchy.
So it's not a Catholic movie, that's just the plot.
It's just a plot.
Gotcha. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So you don't have to genuflect on the way in.
It's out in theaters, and it's also available in iTunes now. Download it.
I didn't just say that, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh. Okay.
Don't worry. I didn't know what it meant.
Then we're batting 50. All right. So, Manny, you have interviews with the stars of that movie, The Confirmation?
I did. I interviewed Clive Owen, and he's a sweet. This is the first time that I interviewed him, and he's such a doll. He's a great, great guy.
Did he like you too? Did he say it's Manny, the movie guy?
No, he did. Well, he didn't know yet. Probably not in London yet.
Oh yeah. All right. So go to MannyTheMovieGuy.com. See the interviews, and if he does, he speak with a British accent a little bit.
Yeah, not in the movie. No, it's based in Washington.
But in the interview, he does.
Oh, yes. In the interview, he does.
And that's sexy, right?
Interviews with the Divergent cast.
I got to ask you, Manny, that accent is sexy, isn't it?
Very.
Very sexy.
And you know what, by the way, you know what I was thinking? You know, Clive Owen could have been James Bond.
Ooh.
Perfectly.
Good
one. Yeah. See?
Did you say that to him?
No, I thought of that after I left the room. I'm like, crap, I forgot to tell him that.
Well, you better get back to him.
Yeah, we know Daniel Craig doesn't want to do it anymore.
He dial.
My goodness. Oh, you could be the next Bond girl. Think of that.
Hello. I've been auditioning for it for the last 20 years.
Manny, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks so much, and enjoy your weekend.
Next week, it's one of the biggest movies this year. It'll be Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'll get that on my Netflix queue right away.
Wait for Wonder Woman.
Oh, is she in that movie, too?
Yeah. Gal Gadot, played by Gal Gadot.
Oh, I want an invisible airplane. Don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Manny.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
You, too. There he goes. Manny the movie guy. See, you've been exposed to the fullness of Manny.
I love me some Manny.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. He's a spark. I love it.
He's great.
All right. You know what else we love is we love our fast food. We
yes.
do. And one of the fast food chains, the maybe more innovative when it comes to their commercials, because they tend to get a lot of people upset, and then they speak directly to their target audience with all their sexy commercials.
With, again, is guys.
Carl's Jr.
Carl's Jr.
Yeah.
With the hot chicks on the, you know.
So burgers and boobs, basically.
Burgers and boobs. Apparently, yeah, sex sells burgers. Yeah, it looks like Carl's Jr. looks like the CEO is thinking about pulling the human factoid out of their restaurants. and going completely automated.
Aww.
What, no people behind the counter?
I don't like this whatsoever. Idea.
I know, it's kind of weird. I mean, basically what he says is you would go, you would order your food, you'll pay with a credit card, debit card, and then your food would pop up.
Really?
And he says that basically this is kind of a way to not have to worry about raising the minimum wage, and that he doesn't have to worry because people don't have to take vacations or get sick or anything like that.
You still need cooks, right? Somebody has to make the
food. That's what I'm wondering. Who's making the food? Is it like a vending machine kind of thing where it just
goes down a conveyor belt over a fire,
right?
Dumps onto a patty.
Ooh, you're onto it.
Goes under the squirt tubes that catches a little bit of ketchup.
Squirt tubes.
Yeah,
that's, you know what?
Mustard, mayonnaise.
Why not?
A piece of lettuce. Yeah.
What do you do with the fries though? Deep fry.
You're gonna need a robot.
You're
for
gonna
that.
Need something to clean that mess up.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're getting farther and farther away from people.
Why don't they just get some of those Ex Machina robots out there serving the food? Would that be good?
Yeah, I don't think they're the first ones that are going to get the opportunity to have one of those robots. It's going to be uber rich people.
I mean, that would be more in line with the Carl's Jr. advertising presentation, you know?
Yeah, but if their goal is to cut down on costs, I don't think those machines are going to be very cheap.
Yeah.
Robot hotties serving French fries and burgers. Mm. Hey, there's some toy brands out there that are bigger than life. So recognizable, when somebody utters their name, you know exactly what it is and no explanation is necessary. Barbie, Lego, Hot Wheels. But there's one that is so big the world over, experts are doing studies on this toy as a brand and why it is so popular with multiple generations for both boys and girls. Do you know what it is? One hint, like Kelly J's hair, it's pink. And one of those experts I told you about joins us live to explain this phenom next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Now, before the break, I gave you a little hint. I said pink, and the iconic toy is bigger than anything out there, really. I mean, if you see a picture of this, you immediately know what it is. No explanation is needed. Ken Nishida is an associate professor, a professor of fashion marketing at Woodbury University School of Business. And he has just a long list of experience in marketing and understanding these things. He joins us live now, and he's the expert of the show today. Sir, thank you for being on the program. We're pleased that you're here.
Thank you so much.
Now, I've been a little secretive about what we're talking about today, so why don't you go ahead and tell me her name?
Her name is Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty. And Hello Kitty is female. She's a female kitty, is she not?
That's correct. She's not even a kitty, actually. She's a girl.
Oh. I had no idea. Why does she look like a kitty if she's a...
She totally looks like a kitty. I'm looking at her picture.
Doesn't she?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so now I'm confused. I've got kitty confusion.
I mean, she even has whiskers.
Now, you've done a lot of study in here, and I want to ask you, first of all, why Hello Kitty is such a ubiquitous brand?
Hello Kitty, I mean, she is a celebrity in her own name. I mean, she's a Japanese icon, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
As a Japanese American myself, I just was drawn to her from the beginning. But now she's almost ubiquitous as, dare I say, Barbie. I mean, she is a force to be reckoned with in terms of character branding, and you know, I study fashion marketing.
Yes.
And fashion marketing is all about good storytelling.
Yeah.
On behalf of a brand or a fashion designer. I just felt that there's definitely a connection between good storytelling from the branding perspective, and Sanrio, which is the parent company.
Sanrio. I see people, you know, not only do the kids walk around with the Hello Kitty lunch boxes, but adults go to work with Hello Kitty. They're adults driving around in cars with a Hello Kitty sticker or an actual Hello Kitty character hanging from the rearview mirror. The idea is so simple. Why do you think Hello Kitty resonates with both children and adults?
You know, I think it all goes back to the history of the company. I mean, it started off as a stationery company. They were trying to move products, and they developed the prototype of Hello Kitty, the character, in a two-dimensional format. And
when was this? Was this in the 80s?
In the 70s.
The 70s, okay.
Yeah. And so you know, the Sanrio as a company, long-standing history of building characters. Hello Kitty, I mean, she has a lot of friends. Hello Kitty, Pochaco, Caropi, all these characters. But thick and thin, she purveyed as the kind of reigning queen, so to speak, of the company.
Well, and that's interesting, too, because the whole cat versus dog thing, because isn't Pochaco a street dog?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you would think that because the dog people always say the dogs rule and cats drool. And
right.
So in this case, the cats have prevailed. Now,
the cat prevailed. And, you know, I think the secret to Hello Kitty really is how she's developed across different product categories. I mean, you know, like I said, she started off with, you know, really innocent stationery for schoolgirls. But throughout the years, you know, she's morphed herself really across. She's omnipresent, right? Like you said earlier, she's in cars driven by adults. And then
is there a Hello Kitty craft beer yet?
Oh, I'm pretty sure there is.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, I'm sure
it tastes good.
It was kind of controversial when it came out. There was Hello Kitty champagne and Hello Kitty wine, and people were really taken by that.
Now, Hello Kitty's supposed to be pure and innocent.
Exactly, pure and innocent. How dare you put her name associated with an adult beverage?
Yeah. Next thing you know, there's going to be a picture of Hello Kitty on the backside of some workout pants.
Oh my God. Hope it's not see-through.
Now, you wrote a paper called Hello Kitty Male Consumers, the Lost, parenthetically, Fanboys. Is Hello Kitty just as popular with young boys as Hello Kitty is with young girls?
It's a growing population. It's a growing population, Phil. They're not as visible as the female fans. The fan base for Hello Kitty is called Hello Kitty Junkies.
Hello Kitty Junkies. Okay.
Hello Kitty Junkies, yeah.
Well, that sounds untoward as well, doesn't it? well, that raises a question. Is there anything unhealthy about the kind of priority people give Hello Kitty in their lives? I mean, you mentioned they're Hello Kitty Junkies, but we know that grown men are out there who are obsessed with My Little Pony, you know, the guys that call themselves bronies, and let's admit it, it's a little weird. And my apologies if you're a brony, I don't know, I might have just offended you. Is there a similar thing, do you think, going on, an unhealthy, weird grown man thing going on with Hello Kitty?
First of all, I'm not a brony.
Oh, gosh. So, a huge weight is lifted off my shoulders. Thank you.
But you know what? Unhealthy? I'm not sure. I don't think I'm certified or to diagnose that.
But in your paper, what kind of conclusions did you get to about the consumption of Hello Kitty products? Did you see anything that was, crossing the line of obsession?
Yeah, so with the Hello Kitty men, right, I call them kind of the lost fanboys because they get kind of tucked into the abyss of the Hello Kitty fans, the Hello Kitty junkies, so to speak. But, you know, I am one.
Okay.
I would say proclaim one. And, you know, we do exist. And the paper was sort of an advocacy paper about the fact that male Hello Kitty fans do exist. And, you know, speaking with my participants and kind of realized that, you know, there are some similarities with bronies in that men who identify as gay, some not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the common denominator is that they use Hello Kitty as a platform to talk about, you know, the fluidity, so to speak, of, you know, sexual orientation, or these other hard issues to talk about with maybe their younger cousins or their siblings.
Is there any direct sexual connotation with Hello Kitty and these fans?
Not that I'm aware of.
So Hello Kitty's not part of the sexual experience. It's just that platform to feel free to discuss orientation.
Right.
Okay. All right, good.
At least based on my research, yeah.
Now, you've got I'm going out on a limb here, Hello Kitty stuff back at your house.
I do. I have Hello Kitty stuff everywhere.
Really?
Adults who drive with the Hello Kitty merchandise dangling from my car.
And so when you're driving around, is that identifier, does it attract others who have similar tastes?
It has. And, you know, that is the power of the Hello Kitty brand, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, you can be visible. It's a visible identifier that can potentially bring people together. And it has for me. And every chance that I get, I'd love to talk about, you know, how much we love her.
Now, our co-host here, Kelly J, has a question for you. Go ahead.
I think she's just so popular because she's so positive and it's cute and it's just so, like, lively. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing... When you look at her, it's just she's cute, she's bubbly, and it's just a positive thing. So I think that has a lot to do with the success, I think.
Is she right? Is she right about that, Keith?
Oh, absolutely. You know, her tagline, rather her favorite phrase, is you can never have too many friends.
There you go.
Wow.
Make friends.
That's good. Because, you know, you do have to dump some friends along the way, so keep getting more and more friends. And right. Well, Keith, Nishita, thank you very much for this. This is eye-opening to me because I had no idea it was I knew Hello Kitty was popular, but I had no idea there was this kind of a subculture of adult fans of Hello Kitty, and you've opened our eyes to this, and we'll continue to be interested and see how this evolves. And,
my pleasure. It's only the start. It's only the start, Phil.
Wow. And the next thing you know, we'll have the Hello Kitty presidential platform going on.
Oh, for sure.
Stranger things have already happened.
Yeah, she already did run for president.
Oh, and how'd that go?
Oh, well, you know, there are no sore losers. She still is the president in our hearts.
Yeah, good to know. Yeah. All right. Assistant Professor of Fashion Marketing at Woodbury University School of Business, Ken Nishita, thanks for being on the program, sir.
Thank you so much.
So.
She's been around forever, too. I mean, ever since I was a kid, there was a Hello Kitty everywhere.
Especially when we were kids. That's when you really noticed it. Because like you said, that's what girls would use to carry their like pencils and rulers and staples and stuff like
His house is full of Hello Kitty stuff. So if you walk in, all right, we're
it's going to be happy.
Yeah, it's a happy place.
Mm-hmm.
Is it at all off-putting?
100%.
No.
Yes, extremely. I'm not going there to watch a football game, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well.
That would be kind of a weird situation.
So it's definitely a scene you're either into or you're not, or you're just like, oh, well, yeah, okay, fine. Different strokes for different folks, right?
You box yourself in a little bit when your house is decorated fully with Hello Kitty.
Do you think?
Memorabilia.
They're not watching Sting and his wrap-up wrestling match.
They
now.
Don't care
Probably
about
not.
The Final Four or
no.
March Madness.
No. I'll tell you what I care about. A pair of shoes that ties itself. We're going to tell you about that coming up next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Welcome back to the Phil Hewlett and Friends show. I'm Kevin. No, my apologies to our previous guest, Keith Nishita, and I believe I may have inadvertently called him Kevin, which was, again, inadvertent and... all respect due, but that was quite an eye-opening interview.
I accidentally called him Kelly.
No, you did not.
The mic was off, but yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Well, Kelly J is here.
Those K names.
Chris
K
Martin
names
is here, and so are you, and that means we have a show. Here's something weird. What's up with young people these days? Young people these days, It's almost like, who needs the sun when you can hide in your room with no windows watching hilarious YouTube prank videos, right? New survey asked people under 25 how important some different things are to the quality of their lives, and the internet was voted more important than daylight.
That's totally scary. Mm-hmm.
It was also voted three times more important than a phone. So here are the top 10s. Freedom of speech, 81% say it's important to their quality of life. Internet connection, 69% is the number two, 69%. So freedom of speech, number one, I want to say what I want and you're going to shut up, right? Freedom of speech is good as long as I'm talking. I have a feeling that's what these young people today are
now,
saying.
Now, what is the age of these young people?
Under 25.
Okay, got
it. Daylight is 64%. 69% internet, daylight, 64%. They could be in the dark, never see any sun. They could be vampires. Hot water, 57%.
Okay.
A healthy diet, 43%. You know, healthy diets are on the way out with young people. They're going,
are they going back to
full on red meat and fat and what, you know, pure lard just poured out of a bottle on their french fries.
The pendulum swings both ways, doesn't it?
Right?
It does.
We're swinging back.
Government assistance on healthcare, 37%. A passport, 34%. I suspect that the other 66% don't know what a passport is. If they're willing to just sit in their room in the dark and watch it on the internet,
they'll never know. They don't need to know.
No, they could look.
Everything's at their fingertips.
Yeah, let's go to another country on the screen right now. A phone connection, 21%. The ability to drive, 17%.
Do you notice that every one of these items are basically 100% symbolic of freedom? All they want is freedom. You know what I mean?
To do
That's what
they
it feels
want,
like to me.
Yes. Say what they want.
That's
but
correct.
No, only 17% think that the ability to drive is important.
But well, again, it's on the list of 10. You only have 10 items. They're ranking the top 10.
And 11% say a good night's sleep is important.
Well, that's because they don't have to go anywhere because they're sitting in their room with their internet, traveling via the web, and they don't have to drive, and then they just don't sleep.
And they can connect to whomever. Survey also found that people under 25 use the internet an average of how many times a day, do you think?
Oh, God.
Hours, I would say 4 hours.
That's but how many times? How many times do they check in on the internet?
Oh, 50, 60?
Yeah. Could be 100.
Yeah.
78 is the average.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's right there. Oh, I have an email.
Yeah.
I have a whatever.
Yeah, so busy just, hooking up to the internet, that all things digital. They probably don't even know how to tie their shoes, Chris.
Well, if they don't, then they don't have to worry anymore because Nike have solved that problem. They've gone all Back to the Future on us and created the world's first self-tightening shoes.
Oh,
how great is that?
No.
So it looks like any pair of Nike running shoes or basketball shoes, but they have a plus and minus button on the sides down at the bottom towards the sole so they can tighten and lighten the laces.
Do they make noises? Like,
no, the buttons
like
are
like the Iron Man suit?
The noise is very light, but the shoes are battery operated and use an inductive charge, which means the average person would have to charge their shoes every couple of weeks. Plug it in like you.
I'm holding up a piece of paper
in front of my
belly. I have an 8x8.5x11 piece of paper.
I see that.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
You're performing in the A4 Waist Challenge, Phil, and it's going viral, my friend.
The A4 Waist Challenge.
All right, here's what's happening. Women are holding up a piece of A4 printer paper in front of their waist. If you don't know what that is, that's the standard 8.5x11 sheet of printer paper.
Yeah.
To see if they are thin enough. If the paper hides their waist as they take a selfie in front of the mirror.
Thin enough for what?
Thin enough to hide behind the 8.5-inch width of a sheet of printer paper. Then they will tweet out the picture with the hashtag A4Waist.
No.
That means if I take my thumbs together and my middle fingers together and I make a circle, and if I can press your waist with my hands like that and connect my thumbs and my middle fingers, then that's about the size we're talking about.
If that's what 8.5 inches is. Well,
Pretty much.
This coming from the girl that I bet if tried it right now, Kelly could pass the A4 waist challenge.
I don't think so.
Just looking at her.
No.
Give her a sheet of paper.
All right, here, I got one right here. All right, let's check it out. I'm going to stand up. Oh, well, hold on.
Go ahead. Yep. There it is. Good. She's got a little.
No, see?
Pretty close, though. That's pretty close.
I got about an inch and a half on each side, I guess.
Oh, stop it. She's got like a half an inch on each side.
I've got two pieces of paper, and that's about right for me.
Yeah. Two pieces of paper, and you look like you need a third.
Oh, come on.
Meanwhile, heavy criticism has spawned. The women activists are starting the hashtag Stop A4 Waist trend, and some women are upset by saying that measuring your worth by whether or not your waist is smaller than a piece of paper is upsetting to them.
Didn't we have like the whole thigh gap thing was going on for a while?
I got thigh gap.
Yeah, you sure do.
Thank
I noticed
you.
It when you walked in.
Thank you.
I got that too, but there's something obstructing
yeah.
the view.
How about this, though? There's also the whether or not you can support a pencil underneath your boob challenge.
I don't have that one.
What's the purpose of
that? You don't. Let's give it a try and
all
see.
All right, we'll try that after the
saying?
Show. Okay. I'm going to fail. Sure. I'm telling you.
All right.
Oh, I see. So you got to have a certain amount of
fleshy tissue,
as Frank Zappa used to say, mammalian protuberance.
mammalian
protuberance.
Yes. Well, yes. I think actually there's a one on the Times Most Influential. Her name is Tess Holliday, and she basically is this very large woman who just says, "F all of you small people." So there you go. She'd be happy or she'd be offended by the paper challenge and root for the large woman.
Yeah,
yes.
Fair enough. But
love
I hope
it.
She doesn't get offended by the A4 waist challenge, because getting offended is really a giant waste of time.
Is it?
In my opinion, yes.
Well, you can move on and do things that...
Live your own life and
yeah,
stop
but what
being
if you
so offended
make a
about what everybody else
what
is
What if
doing?
You want to make a difference and say, look, you guys, this is wrong and here's why.
But is it wrong? So then you're just shaming skinny people. What about people that literally can't eat enough? By the way, this is
now
very
you're
popular
just trying
in
to be
China.
Out, now you're trying to be outrageous.
There are 1 billion women in China that, no matter how much food they ate, could not get wider than a sheet of paper. They're just genetically bred.
I
that
know
way.
A few that can eat a lot of food and not gain weight.
Yeah, just it goes into their hollow leg or whatever it is. But there are a lot of people on the planet that just are naturally that skinny
yeah.
and small.
Well,
they can't get over 5 feet.
Why don't we just
tall,
go all the way and talk about all the different things that people are genetically better at than other people?
Why is it better?
I don't know.
See? Look
Ooh,
at you. Placing
like
a judgment call on all of this stuff.
No, I'm not.
Huh?
You said that
busy
it would take...
Busy being offended.
You said it would take 3 pieces of paper for my waist.
Yeah, but that was funny. You know? This was close to a home run right there.
What, you think so?
Yeah.
Have you? How many of those have you hit on this show?
That was like my third.
I'm glad
it?
I was
yeah.
here to experience it,
in the
it
two
too.
And a half years or whatever I've been here.
Oh.
I think we're done. Unless that, no, can we end on a nice note?
All right, we're going to end on I love animals, all right? So
just quickly, just tell us
quickly,
something nice.
This guy lost his dog like 75 miles off the coast of San Diego. Didn't realize his dog was off the boat. So the dog goes overboard, doesn't find it. They search for a long time. It's a 1.5-year-old German Shepherd. 5 weeks later, they find the dog walking down the street around San Clemente.
After being lost in the water, lost at sea.
Yes. So this dog, 5 weeks, somehow swam to shore and got back home.
We're on Twitter at Faf Show, PHAF Show. We're on Facebook as well. Like us, love us, follow us. And thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who, hey, look, everybody, he's here. Thanks for listening. For Kelly J, thanks for being here today as well.
A lot of fun, Kelly.
Thank you. Thanks
and
for
Chris
me.
Martin, I'm Phil. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.